Vacho vegam manasakrota vegam viva vegam udrapasa vegam vedad vegam yo vashaita vira saham imam prithivim sasishya. Atyahar prayashascha prajoko niyamagra jana sangascha royamcha sadhir vakir nashyati. Utsaha nishyatnaya prata karma pravatana sangatyaga sadhokrite sadhir vakir prasidyati. Tadati pati grinati uyamakyati prishchati bhumte bhojayate jaiva shambhitam priti lakshanam. Krishneti yasya girita manasa dhyeta dhishasti che pranamitisha janamisham shushrushaya bhajana vikyamana nyanya nindari shunya hidamit siddha sanadabhya. Trishtai sabhava janitair vahushas jadoshair nakakrita twami vahakta janasya pashyet dhamyam pasam nakaluhud buddhapena pankair Brahma Jabhattva Mahavachti Janira Harmai Sya Krishna Nama Charitari Sitapya Devya Vikto Katapta Rasanasya Yadrojikaru Kinivaradara Dinam Kalusai Vajusha Svartikrama Pravaditat Kalamula Antri. Sannamo rupa charitari sukirtanamu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyotya jishtan rajeta kurari jayanukami kalam nayeta kilamityu padesha saranam. Vaikuntat janito varamadhu purita trapi rasotsavad Vrindaranya mudara pani ramanata trapi govartanaha Rata kundrami rapi gokula te premamata plavanat Kuryara syami vajato kiryate selam viveki naka. Karmiya pavito ade priyataya bhaktim yayur kyaninas Devyo jnana vimukta bhakti parama prelaika nishastata Devyastha pashupala pankaja nishastha vyo visaradika Vrishatva jvariyam tadiya sajasita nashraye kakriti. Krishnasya chai pranaya vasati kreyasi vyo vidata kundam chasya muni vira vipas adriyeva vidahi yat preshtai lakyala masudava kim narvakti vajam tatreneyam sakirati sarasna tura vishkaroti. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaikam Kadati Chodam. So we're beginning Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada's translation and commentary of Sri Rupa Goswami's Upadesha Amrita. The background of this book is that Srila Prabhupada was requested to write it by one devotee, one disciple, Rishikesh Ananda. And Prabhupada agreed and dictated the book, and it was actually transcribed in longhand and then made into a book. Who's read the book? Okay. So I'm going to give you a publishing exercise. Okay? I'll teach you a little bit about the publishing industry. Probably most of you know this already. When you print a book, the larger the print run, the lower the cost. So, of course, we could print all of our books in equal numbers, but we've decided that for the sake of book distribution, some books will print in moderate quantities, 10 or 20,000. And these books are especially for the devotees and also for the public. And some books we print in very large runs, more like 100,000 or so, so that we can get the price way down and distribute them profusely. Like Bhagavad Gita as it is, we print in large print runs. So similarly, some of our recent titles, Perfection of Yoga, Science of Self-Realization, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1, and then some of the books we print in smaller quantities. Now, I'd like you to place yourself in the position of an advisor to the BBT and look at this book, Nectar of Instruction, and decide what kind of print run it should have. Should it be, you know, up in the hundreds of thousands? Should it be more, you know, the 10 or 20? Think about that for a second and decide on your number, and then I'll ask you for your numbers and your reasons. I'll give you a couple minutes to think about that. Have a magic number? Anyone need more time? Okay. Let's see, just by a show of hands, who thought, you know, above, say, 50,000? Who thought up toward 100,000? Who thought under 20,000? Okay, let's get some reasons here. What was your number? You were thinking 100,000. What was your reasoning?
Cheaper.
Oh, all the books are cheaper.
But it's a nice book to
crack.
I know it's pretty expensive, but it's a nice book to distribute because it has the Sanskrit in it and the translation of where the word is really scholarly is nice to present to people.
Okay, what was your number?
20,000.
20,000. What were your reasons?
Yeah, I never liked to distribute this book in Australia.
Never liked to distribute it. Any particular reason?
There's like in my book of rules and regulations of like the rules of our music. I don't know, the people always thought like that.
So not so appealing to people, all these rules. Okay. Yes.
I don't know if a million.
You're in the middle.
A million.
A million.
The basic book is explained, the basic hospitalized, and the basic family is clear.
Okay. A million. More than most of the books that, more than any book, we've never done a million print run on any of them. Okay. You're a very forward looking BBT trustee.
I was thinking
100,000.
One is that because we have to print these books every year, again and again, like 10,000. So why not just copy?
Well, you're making a decision. I mean, this is understood that every book, the more we print, the better the deal. But the given is, assuming that some books we're going to print more and some books we're going to print less. Is this a more or a less? Not that the more we print, the better we get. I know the more we print, the better we get. But if you're told that a given is that we can't print every book, you know, in the hundreds of thousands, that some books we can print in the hundreds of thousands, and some books, you know, in order to get the hundreds of thousands, we need to print some books in lower numbers, then what are our numbers?
Okay, so the book for mass distribution.
Okay. Distribute them profusely.
And also my experience is by distributing this book, it is very enlivening.
It's an enlivening book to distribute. Okay. Yes.
I said about 20,000. It seems like something definitely every devotee within ISKCON should have, but especially later verses, I think I would just be weird. And then we were talking about Nectar Moshe and the Radha Kun apology and things. I would be worried that would be misinterpreted. I'd rather want to distribute other things.
Rather distribute other things, people could misunderstand these later verses. Okay?
Well, I like actually this comment which is on the back side, explaining nicely this is the guide how to choose guru, how to practice yoga, you know, and in such a way I would print it also like 100,000 or so.
Okay.
You know, and also producing this
guru. It gives guidance,
yeah,
how to choose a guru, other basic things.
Yeah.
So you go for 100,000. Okay?
Twenty?
What's your reason?
Because the guide for people who are actually in spiritual life.
To guide for people who are already in spiritual life.
That is routine,
why distribute it in mass when it's for people who are already in? Okay?
Because
there are not so many of those people. Yes?
I would also print hundreds of thousands of free books because I understand it's like for beginning, for the neophytes, for the people that are waiting for awakening of Krishna consciousness. So if I personally go to this book, I'm looking for what is devotees, who is the best book.
So this is good for neophytes, so you'd print 100,000.
Make bhaktas.
Okay?
100,000. Because it's the basic guidebook for practice.
Basic guidebook, so you'd print 100,000. Okay, any other different reasons? Okay. Those who thought 10 or 20,000, you're in the best of company. Not the very best, but you're in good company anyway, because that was my opinion when I was given the job of recommending which ones to print in large numbers back in the 1970s. I thought, well, this should be certainly a smaller one, not like Bhagavad Gita or Isha Upanishad, because it's, especially those later verses get very esoteric. And Prabhupada wrote back, regarding the nectar of instruction, why not distribute it to the common men? Every book is meant for everyone, but especially for the devotees. Please try to print a large number so that it can be distributed just like Sri Isha Upanishad. And in another letter, the nectar of instruction has come out very nice. It is very important and must be immediately read by all devotees. in the near future, we shall introduce the Bhakti Shastri examination for second initiation, and this shall be one of the required books of study. Anyone who reads it will immediately understand what Krishna consciousness is. Some minister in Bombay recently asked me how to create morality amongst the students, because the students are all vagabonds. If this book is introduced for study in the schools and colleges, it will give a clear idea of what morality actually is. It is a most important book. And Prabhupada said, why only 10,000? Print at least 100,000. Okay. Srila Prabhupada explains in the preface that Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the authority of Srila Rupa Goswami, whose Nectar of Devotion we've just finished going through. And Prabhupada emphasizes, again in the preface, the importance of sense control. That one has to control the senses, perform austerities, and come to the platform of goodness. And one should become a Goswami, which means a controller of the senses. We can also say, by way of overview, that the first seven verses of Upadeshamrita deal with Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Verse 8 with Raganuga Sadhana, and verses 9 through 11 with Bhav Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. And having just gone through the eastern wave of Nectar of Devotion, now we know what all these things are and have a deeper understanding of what that means. So we can reference that as we carry on with our study of the Nectar of Instruction. Now, we're moving forward into the first verse. Vacho vegam manasakrodha vegam jiva vegam udarapasta vegam etan vegan yo vishaheta tida sarvam api mam prithivim sushishya. Srila Prabhupada begins by picking up a discussion from Srimad Bhagavatam in the sixth canto, where he says, first of all, that prayaschita works poorly. The process of committing sins and atoning gives poor results. Kundra shochavat. The elephant bathes in the river and then comes out on the shore and throws sand all over himself. So the conditioned souls similarly perform sinful activities, then do something to atone, and then start up the sinful activities again. So prayaschita doesn't work very well. And tapasya, which is better, works slow. It works slow. But if one meets a pure devotee and follows the four rules and serves Krishna under his direction, one can attain perfection. And in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the beginning of this process, which involves controlling the six vegas. The vega means urge or pushing. Prabhupada one time explained it's like the urge to go to the toilet. Pushing. Vega. So there are six vegas mentioned here, and there's a common thread that goes throughout Srila Prabhupada's purport for what to do about these vegas. Someone pick up what that is? We have to control all of these vegas, these pushing agents. So what's the central, the common thread that Prabhupada weaves through his discussion of all six of these? Yeah.
Control?
Yeah, control, that we know. We know it's all about control. Yeah, to control all of these agents of pushing by engaging these urges in Krishna's service. That's the point that Prabhupada picks up throughout. When he speaks about the urge to speak, one shouldn't speak like the frogs. Bilay bato rukrama vikrama nye nashrinvata karna pute narasya rivasati Dardarike Vasuta Nachopagayat Jurugaya Gata. The tongue is like the tongue of a frog if it's not engaged in glorifying Krishna. The frog, Prabhupada explains, the frog is croaking and advertising to the snake, here I am. Come get me. So the person who's not using his tongue to glorify Krishna has a tongue like the tongue of a frog. And Prabhupada therefore says that we should speak about Krishna, atato brahma jigyasa. And he gives from Bhagavad Gita a reference on how the senses should be controlled. Someone saw that? It's there. Let's see. Maybe it's not specifically mentioned here. Nope. He didn't specifically mention it. It's in my notes because I thought of it. Okay. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Krishna says,
It's Madhvara. We have to become a Madhvara, but that means connect everything somehow or other with Krishna.
True, but that's not the verse that I'm picking up.
Okay.
It is true and valid. Yada sangharate chayam kurnon gani vasarvasha indriyan indriyartevyas tasya pragya pratishtita. Good verse. Krishna says that one has to become like the tortoise. What's the example of the tortoise? It withdraws all the limbs within the shell, yes?
And exhibits when it can, they can use in Krishna's service.
Exactly. And extends the limbs. It's not just that the kurma, the tortoise is what they call in English a one-trick pony. You know, a pony that only knows one trick. Not that the tortoise only knows how to keep his limbs stuck inside the shell. He also knows how to get the limbs outside of the shell. So that's the example given of the tortoise. So the senses are withdrawn from material activities, but used for the service of Krishna. So the same tongue that's restricted from vibrating nonsense should be engaged in vibrating Krishna Katha. Then Prabhupada speaks of the manasavegam, the urge, basically the urges of the mind. You want to think something, mind is it's always got something going on. And again, emptying the mind doesn't work. Does it? No. What does that say about this super popular Buddhism that's going on in the West these days? They're wasting their time. You know, trying to get to empty out the mind. And I had a correspondent writing to me about reaching the stage of no thought. Reaching the stage of no thought. And, you know, in the course of the correspondence, it came out it's very hard not to think. You wind up thinking about not thinking. And he admitted that was, you know, a difficulty in the practice. Thinking about not thinking about not thinking. And then he reached the point, what was his idea? That there's some, that the mind is off, but there's some sort of like deeper level of thought that you're accessing. Okay, but there's thought. Then it's not zero. There's thinking. So then the question is, what should we be thinking of? Especially if everything is illusion, as Buddhism would have it, or as the Mayavadis would have it, what are you supposed to think of? It makes it very hard to control the mind. You're basically telling the mind, don't think of anything. Don't think. I said don't think. But it's excruciatingly difficult. The mind winds up thinking anyway. So therefore, the business is Sabai Mana Krishna Padavindya. Think of Krishna. There's so much you can think about. Then Krodha Begum, anger. And Prabhupada gives the example of Hanuman being angry for the service of Krishna. And Arjuna also being angry for the service of Krishna. Prabhupada, one, let's see. Prabhupada had written, one devotee wrote to Prabhupada various questions, and Prabhupada said, your ninth question, you once said, this is quoting Prabhupada, the person wrote to Prabhupada, you once said that in the case of a strong rush of sex desire, one can think of the gopis, the dearmost to Lord Krishna. Is there another help in case of anger or harshness? And Prabhupada says, yes, think of Krishna, how he was angry on Hiranyakashipu, and nobody could pacify him, even Brahma, with beautiful hymns. In anger also, we can think of Krishna. You think you're angry. Krishna is unlimitedly angry. So when you have anger, you can think of Krishna. You're only a little angry. He's absolutely angry. There's a nice song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Kama krodha lopa moha mada matsarya dhambasaha sthane sthani niyukta koriva ananda kori hridoy ripu kori parijoy anayase govinda bhajiva kama krishna kamarpane krodha bhakta dveshi jane lobha saru shange harikatha moha ishta lab bine mada krishna gunagane niyukta Koribo yata tata. Says, I'll engage lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy, and pride in appropriate ways. And by defeating these enemies, I will feel happiness in my heart as I peacefully worship Govinda. I will engage lust by offering it in Krishna's service. Anger I will direct toward those who are envious of the devotees. I'll be greedy to hear the topics of Krishna in the association of devotees. I'll feel illusioned without achieving my worshipable Lord and maddened while singing the glories of Krishna. In this way, I will engage these enemies in their proper places. So we're engaging all of our propensities in Krishna's service, even anger, lust, greed, illusion. Was there a question? Yes.
I want to rest because very often such kind of things like anger, such kind of things like anger, illusion,
actually they are coming from Tamil Nadu.
Mm.
So if we are in Tamil Nadu, how we are going to get right discrimination to use that machine?
You just connect everything with Krishna. If you're angry, instead of just trying to stop being angry, which has some value, but be, use your anger for Krishna. There are legitimate reasons to be angry.
But usually we are getting angry because of our sense of impatience.
Yeah, that we have to change. In other words, it's not that anger is forbidden, but anger for sense gratification is forbidden. You can be as angry as you want for Krishna. That doesn't mean you're just running around angry all the time, but it means there's some appropriate outlet for anger.
So if we try to control that, yes, let's say that we have bad thought.
We are what?
Thoughts.
Uh-huh.
I want to control them.
Yeah.
But I'm praying that these thoughts vanish, or they don't want to. And how can I be angry towards Krishna if I, because he doesn't control my thoughts.
Now you want to be angry toward Krishna?
No, I'm not angry, but use the anger. I cannot control it. By what I understand, you can use the anger.
Yes.
Toward Krishna.
For Krishna, not toward
Krishna.
Yeah, there's a difference between being angry for Krishna and at Krishna. Anger at Krishna is experienced sometimes in the advanced stage. Sometimes the close associates of Krishna become angry at Krishna also for being such a troublemaker. So in the advanced stage also one can be angry at Krishna. But for the neophytes, it's not very much recommended. We can't imitate. But we can be angry for Krishna. That is to say, we can be angry, Prabhupada says, at the non-devotees, those who are harassing the Vaishnavas. We can be angry at them, angry at the demons, but not angry toward Krishna. That's not recommended. Although we read in Nectar of Devotion that even by anger toward Krishna there's a perfection that can be achieved. The demons achieved perfection by being angry at Krishna. They attained liberation. But we're not interested just in personal liberation. And we're not recommended to be angry with Krishna. We want to develop love for Krishna. Is that okay?
Yeah, I didn't use the proper word. But
okay.
It wasn't for.
Angry for Krishna means
yeah.
In his service. Yes?
I think the point is that if I'm angry, say for example, at Bhakti Klaas because he called Shumari Kaur Om Doki, what do I do now? How do I become angry for Krishna? I think that's what you're trying to get at.
Yeah.
Do we think about something else now and think about some other?
Well, you might remember Lord Nrisimhadev before you decapitate Bhakta Klaus for spilling turmeric all over your dhoti. You might remember that Krishna got a lot angrier than you did. And then simply by remembering Lord Nrisimhadev, you might remember that even he was pacified by Prahlad Maharaj. And gradually you might start to simmer down. These things are like rushes, you know. Anger comes and it's like a whirlwind. And then you do all these crazy things and then, oh my God, what have I done? I've shot my wife. Right? That's what happens. People become angry. A lot of the crime that goes on in America, I'm sure elsewhere, is domestic violence. You know, one partner becomes angry at the other partner and Krodhat bhavati sam moha. From anger, there's bewilderment. Sam mohat smriti vibhrama. From bewilderment, they forget who they are. They forget everything. They forget this is my wife. They forget this is against the law. They forget everything. Smriti Brahmshad Buddhi Nasho. When memory is lost, then intelligence is out the window. And Buddhi Nashat Pranashati, when intelligence is gone, you're finished. So this is a result of anger. By anger, you know, one thing leads to another, and oh my God, what have I done? And then it's too late. But anger does subside. And one is recommended that this is the method, rather than acting in anger, simply remember Krishna. Similarly, Prabhupada gave, rather than act in lust, you somehow remember Krishna. What Krishna instructed, or remembering, Prabhupada says here, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Changing. Yes?
Today, talked about a revolution.
How can you have a revolution if you're not a little angry?
My question is, can you use this anger in a violent way?
Can we use anger in a violent way?
I mean,
yes.
To have a
Hanuman did. Arjun did. They were not non-violent. There is one story that they were doing some kirtan in a public program, and some man was like snatching at the sari of one of the devotee girls. And Prabhupada picked up his kartals like a Sudarshan chakra. who do you think you are? Prabhupada was angry. So, in that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Shuni Chena, but when Nityananda Prabhu was attacked, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was angry. So when the devotees are abused or devotees are offended, then one has a right to become angry. Not for our own interest, but then it's appropriate. Yes?
When it's two devotees. When two devotees wants one, will have a piece of the other, and you get close to fight. So,
could you expand that question a little bit? Turn it into a full question.
Pretend that there's two devotees, and one wants to argue so much, he lost the control, and wants to fight with the others.
So then we should avoid. If a devotee wants to fight with me, I should avoid. Not that, okay, here's my chance, I can fight with the devotee. Why fight with the demons? You know, I can fight with the devotee. And it's completely spiritual. No. But if someone else is fighting with that devotee, some materialist, that's different. You see? For ourselves, we shouldn't be very eager to display our transcendental anger and protect ourselves. No. But if some devotee is attacked, then. Yes?
For example, this modern slaughterhouse, there are many devotees are killed, like the cows, so also devotees, the eternal soul. It's okay, the soul cannot be killed. But anyway, is there a reason to open maybe like a really far out left wing of ISKCON and being extreme and just by terror
We're angry, but we don't want to become too narrowly focused. You know, there's everything to be, you know, they're killing cows, they have abortion clinics, they have, yeah, they're drug pushers, and there's, you know, there's all these things going on. And if we're just going to be angry and say, okay, I'm going to direct it at the animal killers or the this or the that, that doesn't really address the underlying problem, which is the lack of Krishna consciousness. So just say to open, you know, a revolutionary wing that collects hand grenades and bombs, you know, meat trucks and packing plants, which I have, it has occurred to me. is not very. Now maybe no. I won't pursue this line of thought on tape. But but we should avoid these things. They're against the law. That's one problem. And our manpower is fairly limited right now, so we can't we can't afford to lose good men. In addition to which, we'll have more effect by directly spreading Krishna consciousness. Just to, even if we succeed in closing a meat plant or two or whatever it is, then they'll just do something else sinful. We haven't really purified anyone's heart. We've just, okay, had some guerrilla action and now we're feeling pretty good. But we're not really getting down to the root of the problem. Otherwise, there are so many things that are wrong with the world, and if we try to change them by our own guerrilla tactics, we may not expect very good results. But those who are in the responsible positions of authority should do this. They should close the slaughterhouses. They should stamp out such sinful activities in their states. And they're not doing it because they're gutless. They're fools or they're gutless, one or the other. Either they don't know or they don't have any power or initiative. Otherwise, if they were real kshatriyas, they should be angry. And they should put a stop to it. But without being in the position of authority to try to do these things by guerrilla action under the present circumstances is not likely to be a good tactic. Otherwise, we should give people knowledge, spread them. If we spread this knowledge of Krishna consciousness effectively, the people themselves should be so angry that they shut the slaughterhouses. You know, the people of the world should be so angry that the slaughterhouse owner should be afraid to show his face in public. He should be afraid to go out in his car. If people were enlightened, they wouldn't stand for these things. That we should give, therefore we have, should distribute, this is the way to create the revolution. Not just by sort of frustrated tactics where we try and kill off a few of the opposition, but by deep and persistent propaganda that will change people's understanding. That's our method. Okay. The tongue and belly should be used for taking Krishna prasadam. The genitals for Krishna conscious children. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, I'd be prepared to have sex 1,000 times to be getting a good child. This word dhira is very important here. Dhira means sober. Dhira stattra namurgati. Prabhupada at many places emphasizes this word dhira. Dhira means undisturbed. There's a whirlpool of material energy, but the person who's dhira is undisturbed. One who controls these urges becomes qualified to be a bona fide spiritual master. And we made this point in the Nectar of Devotion class, that you're being trained to become spiritual masters. So this is the qualification. One, first of all, has to control the senses. If one is Godas, then he can't be Goswami. One has to become actually Goswami. Then Prabhupada, yes, there's a question here.
Yeah, the question, why is this actually this the first verse in the mental instruction? Is it like more like for us when we search a spiritual master, or is it for us to become spiritual master?
Both. If you're searching for a spiritual master, you should be qualified. And if you're going to be a spiritual master, you should be qualified. Both reasons. Srila Prabhupada throughout the book cites the commentary by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur called Anuvritti Pasha. Anuvritti means following. Anuvritti means following or obeying. Anuvritti. And we look at his comments. He divides things into three divisions: verbal, mental, and corporal, these six urges. And he mentions two urges of the mind: Avirodha Priti and Virodha Yukta Priti. And it's a little difficult to understand from the commentary there what that means. Perhaps you found it puzzling. It's on page 9. There's Avirodha Priti and Virodha Yukta Krodha. As for the agitations of the flickering mind, they're divided into two divisions. The first is Avirodha Priti, or unrestricted attachment, and the other, Virodha Yukta Krodha, anger arising from frustration. So the explanation here is that Avirodha Priti means attachment that's unrestricted in the sense of being unimpeded. Nothing gets in your way. Okay? Avirodha Priti. You've got some attachment and you can go for it. And Virodha means that you're blocked. So Virodha Yukta Krodha, because you're blocked, therefore you're frustrated. Your attachment's blocked, therefore you're frustrated, therefore you become angry. Krodha. So these are the two divisions. The attachment that you can pursue and the attachment that you get blocked with. But either case, these are two businesses of the mind: to pursue attachment. Some attachment is without restriction, some attachment you're blocked on. Okay? Then there are three bodily demands: the demands of the tongue and the belly and the genitals. They're all in a straight line, Prabhupada explains. And he mentions that one shouldn't get overwhelmed by the six tastes. What are the six tastes?
Sour.
Sweet. Yeah. Pungent. Sweet. Bitter. Sour was mentioned.
Salty.
And astringent. Those are the six tastes. And one can be, you know, sour, ooh. You know, people are sucking on sour balls. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions too much tamarind. Tamarind is sour. So if you're heaping on the tamarind, then you're really going after the sour taste. Or people who are, you know, salty. Or people who are nuts for sweets. They're being overwhelmed by these different tastes. And what mode are these in? Largely? Passion. A little ig thrown in too sometimes. Passion and ignorance. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Ayu sattva bala rogya sukhi sukha priti vivardana rasya snigdha sthira hridya ahara sattvika priya katvamla lavanatyushna tikshna ruksha vidahina ahara rajasya syeshta dukkha shokamaya prada yata yamam gata rasam puti paryushitam chayat uchchishtam avichamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. So the healthy, nourishing food is in goodness, and food in passion is too sour, too salty, lavanati, too hot, all of these, too this, too that, really hot, really sour, really salty, really sweet. Which is what food is out there usually. You know, you go to a supermarket and whatever it is, it's super sweet or it's super salty or it's super to appeal to passion. So one shouldn't be under that. One shouldn't use prasad as an excuse for sense gratification. Jivar lalase jay iti utipai shishnodara parayana krishna nahi pai, shishnodara parayana, like narayana parayana. So one who's after shishna udara, who's after gratifying the genitals and the stomach, krishna nahi pai, he'll never get krishna. Jivar lalase jay iti utida, he's going here and there to satisfy his tongue. He's the servant of the tongue. How will he ever become servant of Krishna? So therefore, fasting on Ekadasi is helpful. Janmashtami, fasting is helpful. Eating Krishna prasadam is helpful, but not that on the excuse of prasadam, one is just going everywhere for the tongue. Prabhupada gave the example drinking water underwater while taking a bath on a fast day. He's drinking water, you've taken a vow that I'll not even drink water. But then when you take your bath underwater, you're drinking. So one is pretending to be austere, but then he's gratifying himself like anything, looking here and there, where's the latest, greatest prasadam. So prasadam is good. We should, and Prabhupada said, one time he said, they have no other sense gratification, the devotees. Let them. So sometimes, on some occasions, the Vaishnavas honor very nice prasadam, very opulent prasadam. But not that every day, the daily feast. Dukkha shokamaya. It will create unhappiness. And it will create disease. And bala rogya, to have food that's healthy, that gives strength, that's mild, and that will be better in the long run. Food in the mode of goodness. Yeah. Any question here? Okay. A genuine Goswami, Prabhupada finally says, can make disciples all over the world. Prithivim sa shishya. Prabhupada, here in Mayapur in 1976, just before Gaur Purnima, gave a lecture. He said, people in general, they cannot understand, but those who are preaching, they must be very sincere. The same way, Rupa Raghunate Pade Hoibe Akuti. They should read the literatures, the instruction, just like Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction. We should strictly follow, then Prithivim Sashishyat. Then you'll be able to preach and make disciples all over the world. This is the injunction. Tell that to the Twitfix. Okay, let's do some work. Who's a scribe? Who's going to write for us? Krishna Kripa. Okay. We're going to look for, suppose in a society of devotees, one becomes a spiritual master without being a Goswami. without having the qualifications mentioned in this verse? What are some of the potential consequences for him, for his disciples, for the society? What are some of the potential consequences? You can think about that and put them up on the board here. Mm-hmm. Disciples will be loose.
Also faith.
Hmm?
Also faith.
Okay.
Lose faith.
Loss of faith. People will lose faith in him, they probably lose faith in others.
The constant conflict.
Constant conflict.
Experiment.
Yeah, you want to explain that? Who's conflicted with who?
Yeah, I think between the disciples, because they won't be controlling the speech, they won't be controlling anything.
Because the disciples will be loose, so there'll be conflicts among them. Okay.
The weakness of authorities. Like weak authorities that you can.
Okay, authorities will be weak. Why will they be weak? Okay, faith with faith lost, faith in authority will be weak, and that means the authority, your ability to use authority becomes weak. Authority is undermined.
When they cannot control these urges, they will always run for some sense enjoyment, and this, like we just read, when they are unable to attain Krishna. But they are in a position to give Krishna to others, even, or to speak. You know, they have to, are not able to attain themselves Krishna.
So the people who are supposed to give Krishna won't even be able to get Krishna.
Yeah.
The person who's supposed to give Krishna won't even be able to get Krishna. Okay, I'm just giving him time to write.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Prakriti-sahajyism.
Hmm? There'll be Prakriti-sahajyism. Why?
Well, because he will, by his example, he will just, concoct teachings, and then everybody will take everything.
Okay, you can get practice, because someone will say, no, it's not that I'm weak, not that I'm a sense enjoyer, this is actually Krishna consciousness.
Ism.
This is not Maya, this is part of my budget. Yeah, that who was that? That example, that Aurobindo, he fell in with this French lady, and then it was that she was the divine mother, the whole thing. You go, her room is still preserved in Pondicherry. You see all these little, glass horses, and all these things that, just an ordinary mundane woman, but she became the divine mother and so on, because he became attached to her. Yes.
Can lead to fanaticism?
You want to explain that? How does it lead to fanaticism?
That the guru can develop some idea of some fanaticism that leads in this direction, and he advises the disciples to.
Fanaticism. Why does it particularly lead to fanaticism? What do you have in mind here?
Some people can still think he's a good guru and cling to him fanatically, even though they have.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this is about the personality of the guru.
I don't understand.
Like, in this way, can't lead to Sahaja.
Yeah.
He's the guru of another kind of personality, much more.
So who becomes the fanatic?
The guru.
Okay, I don't really understand it. It's but it can lead to fanaticism.
So,
okay,
so you're saying that even though the guru is flawed, he insists that he's not flawed, and his disciples also insist, you know, a bunch of fanatics.
So ignorant following, really. Okay, you can put that, ignorant following. Yes?
Bring bad reputation for those who are good standing.
Yeah, it brings down the reputation of the whole, brings down the society's reputation, the reputation of other leaders. Yes?
Actually, this person is not a guru. The Prabhupada also said, there's not this good guru or bad guru. You're a guru or you're not.
And that's true, but what is the consequence of that? We're asking for consequences.
Okay.
Yes.
It stops his personal spiritual growth.
Yes, yeah, spiritual growth goes to hell. And more radically than spiritual growth stopping. Yeah. For him, yeah, he can fall down. You're not controlling your senses. You can fall down. That's certainly a consequence. The guru can fall. Yes.
Breaking the principles and in this way giving the excuse for others.
Yeah, I think did we get that already? Loose disciples will become loose. Yeah.
I heard him once that it's like a so-called false guru is actually the greatest sinner. It's the greatest offense, which is...
I know that, but I'm asking for consequences. You're giving me characterizations again. What's an actual consequence? Something that happens. Not an analysis, but something because of A, B happens. That's what I'm looking for. What happens to him, what happens to his disciples, what happens to the society. Effects, not just what he is, but what... consequences.
The cheater, and then they cheated, they go down to hell, actually.
Okay, the disciples fall down. First the guru falls down, then the disciples...
Well, if the disciples will be loose, should
we all... Well, yeah, now they can fall down, and you're going to need another sheet. So you can tack that one above the... let's get rid of that nice spring shower scene and put some... miserable consequences. So disciples may fall down. We've seen that happen. I cut somebody off here because it wasn't the answer I was looking for at the time. Who was it?
That was the same point. The same that he makes offense, that's a consequence of God. Strictly controlling your senses, you make offenses.
Okay, guru may make commit offenses to other Vaishnavas. What's that? Oh, yeah. What was
the parampara?
Parampara gets cut. Yes.
Bogus philosophies like Rinzikism also. Like Rinzikism, bogus philosophies.
Yeah, okay, let's...
Yeah.
You give rise to... give apparent grounds for... heretical philosophies. Okay, we're giving him a chance to catch up here. Parampara stops. Bogus philosophies start to proliferate, saying, well, see what happened to him, this means da 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 da. Okay?
And a good example for others, who you can take them as an example how we want faith to follow the truth.
Oh, so this is a good consequence. Okay, you can put this in another color. He provides a good example of what not to do. We found a silver lining in this cloud. Now we're losing faith in our markers.
It's a good example of what happened.
everyone else starts to get scared. That's, yeah. Okay. More consequences?
So
maybe
a new movement grows from
you. Movements can, you can get split off movements, schisms they're called. Schismatics, schisms can result, schismatic groups. Public loses respect. That's okay, just put a little black star next to it or something. Public, your reputation goes to hell with the public. Aren't you the group where I read about you in the newspaper. Something with was it guns or prostitutes? Or what was it about? Your public reputation goes to hell. Anything else?
Well, you might encourage other groups. Other groups could be some of those things.
Yeah, you can encourage.
You bring
your peers down.
Yeah.
Start to drag your peers down. They look in and say, "Gee, you know, he's got this like, ooh, 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 why couldn't that happen?" Whatever.
You offend both
of
them.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got offending other Vaishnavas, but you let down your spiritual master. You lose the association of Vaishnavas.
Create divisions within the society.
Yes?
And some philosophical, major philosophical changes are now.
What's that? Siddhanta can be changed, yeah. This is bogus philosophy, really. But, yeah, I mean, bogus philosophy has come several ways. One is that people say, well, if this is going on, then it must be, and they invent the bogus philosophy. Or the other is that you yourself invent the bogus philosophy. So we've got subspecies of bogus philosophical development.
So is there something different?
Are we done? Any other consequences to add to this dreary picture?
Maybe the preaching doesn't have any effect.
Preaching gets just loses its power. You preach, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Purity is the force.
Purity is lost. Lack of purity is loss of force. Okay, yes?
Thinking about the history of our movement, you know, the child abuse issue. Can you say child abuse as a result of the guru not being a guru form? It's a long shot, anyway.
It's a long shot, yeah. I mean, then you get down to a particular, you know, particulars. How the, you know, what the guru gets into, then anything could happen. But general degradation. Everything goes down. Everything. Because so much is invested in our philosophy, in the guru, the importance of the guru, devotion to the guru, reliance on the guru. Now, if the guru is not following, the principles of Krishna consciousness, if he loses control of these six pushing agents, and all of these things can happen, have happened. May happen again. Yes?
Yes, we mentioned that about doubts.
Excuse me?
Doubts
arise. Good, we didn't put that. But that starts to happen. How can the philosophy be bona fide? How can Krishna be God if this person that I trusted as a guru has had this happen to him? Must be that the whole thing is, I don't know, I'm out of here. Loss of faith. Yeah, that was where we started, actually.
Yeah,
So loss of faith. But again, you know, we're elaborating what that loss of faith is. It's not just loss of faith in the person, but you know, the whole, your whole faith structure can just collapse. You know, I don't. But that, all these things, right? We've seen these things happen. Okay. Let's take the other side. Sure, bring a couple pens with you. Similarly, or rather, on the other hand, suppose one actually becomes a genuine Goswami. What are the benefits for him, for potential followers, actual or potential followers, for the society? What are some of the positive effects?
He builds faith. Yeah, he's like such a like a living example of it. It's so important actually. Pure devotee can give so much faith to many, many others.
Builds faith.
Disciples
become determined and enthusiastic.
Disciples
become strong in their spiritual life. Yeah, that was, we already have. The disciples become enthusiastic.
Preaching grows faster.
Preaching grows.
They will realize the society a larger respect for the movement. The Prabhupada would always say, right, oh look, these, you know, these are now they've given up.
Society gains respect.
Is it a general upliftment of the society? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the society is uplifted. It's not only seen as being good, but it actually is good. Excuse me? I can't hear.
Producing pure devotees. Goswami is capable of producing pure devotees.
He makes pure devotees. Makes others into pure, turns others into pure devotees. Yeah. Loud?
More books get published?
Yeah, more books get published and distributed. Book distribution grows. That's very practical. We've seen, you know, somebody falls down and all of a sudden book distribution goes from, you know, 80 to 2. Very practical consequence. Our mission, the mission, which is based on book distribution, you know, can just implode on itself. And on the other hand, when the leader is actually in control of his senses, then yes, the book distribution increases. Preaching increases. We have preaching increases, and that's book distribution specifically. Yes, something else.
Acharyas are pleased.
Yeah, the spiritual master and previous acharyas are pleased.
More souls
go back to Godhead. I'm just giving you a chance to write again. Okay, yes?
Can smash
Apasiddhanta. Yeah, Apasiddhantas get smashed. Bogus philosophies get crushed. Yes.
Financial status
goes up. Yeah. Yeah, a very practical thing, you know. The leader leaves and everybody gets disheartened, and then all of a sudden you're in a financial crisis in Germany. Direct financial consequences. You know, all of a sudden you had a big project with everybody behind it, lots of money, and then everybody's losing faith all over the place, and you know, no one wants to go out and distribute books anymore, no one, da 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 da. And then you know, your finances are shot. You're in a crisis that way. And on the other hand, everybody's enthusiastic, everyone's preaching, everyone's distributing books. You'll have financial help. We're not in business, you know, to make lots of money, but it's a practical thing. Yes?
On the same line, more temples and centers will open?
You'll have more temples, more centers. The centers will be healthy, they'll grow. Yes? Something else?
Mm-hmm. The public, you gain respect from the public.
We did that. Mm-hmm. Public respect. Anything else? Yes? Inspires other gurus. They say, wow, look at all he's doing. I got to get myself together. Or look how, you know, strict he is. Wow, compared to him, I'm, you know, I better get myself, you know, under control here. Okay, we need some more space now again. Yes?
Good reputation.
No. We have that. Society gains respect. It's reputation.
Disciples gain faith.
We have that. Disciples gain faith. Yeah, that's the same thing. You get respect. Whether it's from the radio, the newspapers, the television, word of mouth. Something else? Yes?
We're able to unite the conflicting views, the conflicting groups within the society. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was always able to make people come together after all.
Better able to create unity? Something else? Any other points? How about he goes back to Godhead? Over here, he went down someplace else. But, you know, you control your senses, you do all this service, acharyas are pleased, you go back to Godhead. That's a consequence worth having. Okay. In summary, when the leader or the person who's taking the position of guru doesn't control these six vegas, then his disciples will be loose, there'll be loss of faith, there'll be conflict among disciples, faith and authorities will become weak, the guru won't be able to give Krishna because he won't even have Krishna, sahajyism develops, ignorant following, the society of the reputation of the society goes down, the guru stops growing spiritually and falls down. People develop doubts in the whole process. Disciples fall down. Vaishnava aparadhas are committed. The parampara line gets cut. Bogus philosophies start being invented and proliferating. Schisms may result. Public respect goes to hell. One's peers may start to deteriorate. Guru becomes disappointed. That is to say, the guru of the fallen guru. The guru may lose Vaishnava Sangha. There may be divisions created in the society. Financial loss, which we didn't put here, but which was mentioned. Book distribution, the preaching mission suffer. And in general, everything deteriorates. It all just goes down. And on the other hand, if the guru is actually controlling these five pushing agents, then he builds faith in others, the disciples become strong and enthusiastic and determined, preaching grows, the society gains respect, the society itself is uplifted, pure devotees are produced, book distribution increases, the acharyas become pleased, more souls attain Godhead, bogus philosophies are crushed, finances flourish, more temples grow, other gurus become inspired, there's unity created, and the guru himself goes back to Godhead. Does that help answer why this is the first verse of Nectar of Instruction? Fundamentally important. We ourselves should strive to follow this instruction of controlling these pushing agents, and we should follow those who are genuine Goswamis, who are controlling these six pushing agents. Yes?
Well, we know that even the blade of grass cannot move without the sanction of Krishna.
Mm.
But to which degree this qualification give Krishna direct access to, like, to influence the society, to influence, I mean, if there's a right guru,
gives Krishna access?
Yeah, I mean, if the guru is a Goswami,
mm-hmm.
Maybe Krishna can act more through him than
sure.
if he's not.
I mean, Krishna, of course, acts through him in both cases.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, through his external energy. And in this case, through the internal energy. When the senses are out of control, the action of the internal energy is impeded or blocked or simply not there. We're cutting ourselves, you know, we're directing ourselves, we're getting deviated from the path of pure devotional service. So we're getting, what comes in is the material energy. So Krishna is always acting, but he's acting now through the material energy. Let's bring down this society. Let's screw the finances. Let's put this person in personal humiliation. There's another consequence. Some pavitasya chakirtir madanaditi ruchite. For a person who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. You know, so the personal turmoil that the spiritual master himself has to go through as a result of not controlling these pushing agents. That's a further consequence. But otherwise, on this side, the spiritual energy is acting. He's keeping a strong connection with the Sampradaya. He's speaking the message of Krishna as it is. He's setting the example of pure devotional service. He's acting strictly, following the regulative principles. See how important this sadhana is. We were hearing in Nectar of Devotion that these 64 items of sadhana can completely engage all the activities of the body, mind, and words. If our sadhana is strong, we're in a good position to control these things. If our sadhana is weak, what happens? Especially these items, hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, living in a pure place. We see people have difficulty. Why? No sadhu sangha. Or they stop chanting. They're not reading. Or hearing even Bhagavatam. Deity worship not really going. So what's going on? Maya's creeping in. So even, not that, oh, now I'm a guru, I don't need to do these things. We quoted the other day that Prabhupada said that I'm in Vrindavan, I'm sitting and hearing the classes, how the devotees are speaking. So you should also do that. Don't become a better Paramhansa than your Guru Maharaj. Not that now I'm a sannyasi, or now I'm a guru, or now I've been a devotee 20 years or 30 years. I don't need to do this anymore. This is for the rookies, for the neophytes. It's for everyone. And by following this process, all these good results will come by the grace of Krishna and his spiritual energy. Yes. Anything else here?
We're talking about these three categories, the speech and body and mind.
Mm-hmm.
Where, Krodha Vega, where is that? I mean, it seems like the...
Well, it starts in the mind. This is explained in third canto. It starts in the mind and then it proliferates to the senses. That's explained by Lord Kapildev in the third canto. Someone becomes angry, so that's a mental effect, but then his whole body becomes polluted. You know, when you're angry, your whole body feels like it's, you know, it's all transformed. And then there's physical expressions like angry looks and maybe punching or kicking. Even if you're not kicking anyone, you know, somebody kick a wall or do something. There's kicking, there's punching, there's shouting. You know, so these physical effects. So from the mind, the body becomes polluted. And lust also starts in the mind and then moves on from there. Greed also starts in the mind and then moves into the physical realm. Overeating starts in the mind. Everything starts in the mind. Therefore, our business is to keep our minds always in Krishna consciousness. Udhared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadiyet atmayava yatmano bandhur atmayava ripuratmanam. Mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy. Bandhur atmatmanastasya yenatma vatmanaditaha anatmanastu shatrutve partetatmayava shatrutva. For the person who's controlled, whose mind is uncontrolled, it's the worst enemy. And for the person who's, and the person who's controlled the mind lives always with the best friend. Therefore, one has to uplift the mind with the intelligence and not let the senses drag the mind down. Intelligence means buddhi yoga, Krishna consciousness. Okay, everything's covered here. Very sober business. Prithivim sashishya, one who's controlled these pushing elements, is qualified to make disciples. He has a license to make disciples all over the world. Otherwise, dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Right. We can also see like Mayavad gurus, for example, they also fulfill this qualification. But at the same time, the internal energy of Krishna is not working through them. So what exactly makes the difference?
What makes the difference is devotion. Mayavadis may to some extent control. And then we see those good results. They get public respect. They create faith among others. They have some potency for preaching. Simply because they're self-controlled. One time on Padayatra we met the Shankaracharya of Kanchipuram. Very much a Mayavadi. But you could see this person had a lot of potency. The old Shankaracharya, not this fellow who's in legal trouble. the previous Shankaracharya. You saw him, the man glowed. And he was effulgent. And he was lived super simply. And Mayavadi. Even as a Mayavadi, he was fortunate. Our kirtan party came and he asked us to have kirtan. And he said, I wish that Krishna Nam spread all over the world, shine all over the world. He gave his... Well, we don't know what his understanding was of Krishna Nam. We have some idea what his understanding was. But simply because he was strictly following these principles of self-control, his position was very high. And it seems that his successor, there's a lot of questions about his ability to control these things. The guys, is he still in prison? I haven't been watching. But he's still in prison. So he's in prison. The whole dignity of the Sampradaya is degraded.
Yeah, young girls.
Huh?
Young girls. Born of them are in prison.
Oh, the young one is also, the young boy. Yeah. So all of these things. But what to speak of you know, just exercising control by force. And we see that his successor seems couldn't do it. If we positively cultivate Krishna consciousness, that's so much easier than control, than forcible control. Yet pada pankaja palasha vilasha bhaktya. That verse is there in fourth canto, the Kumaras say that the impersonalists have great difficulty stopping these waves of desire. But those who become attracted to the lotus petal feet of Krishna, they can overcome these things very easily. Padvasudevam. Therefore one should engage in devotional service to Krishna. Okay, we have to stop here.